Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a good weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's episode of the podcast on Monday, February the 9th. Coming up, a campaign gets underway to stop lorries driving through a Kent village. Hear how you could walk an historic railway line in Kent. And we catch up with Gillingham's new striker after he opens his account at the club. But first, this is our most read story on the website today. A Faversham dad is demanding answers after his street was one of the only ones not to be upgraded to full fibre broadband. Harry Musto Playfair lives on Beach Close and says he's limited to fibre to the cabinet, which is an increasingly outdated technology. Now, the fabric printing business owner and his wife, who's a speech and language therapist, both work from home. So fast and reliable internet for them is essential. And while neighbouring streets enjoy broadband speeds up to 20 times faster, Harry's been telling me how they feel left in the dark ages.
At the moment, we've got fibre to the cabinet, which gets us between 50 and 60 megabit speeds. And that's enough for 1080p Netflix streaming and maybe a couple of people using the internet at once. But full fibre to the cabinet, which is the fibre to the premises, which is the most modern broadband that we have, gets full 1000 megabit speed. So it's a full sort of 10 to 20 times faster, as well as being able to support much more connections. So if you've got a house full of people, it's really the modern standard by which all people should have their internet.
And if you don't mind me asking, Harry, what's your setup? Would it really benefit you? Do you work from home often? I mean, we know a lot of things have changed since the pandemic with people working remotely, and obviously they then require on good broadband to be able to do that. Does it impact you as far as that's concerned?
Absolutely. So both me and my wife work from home. I'm a local business owner, so we work in like a media-based business, so there's lots of big files going around and lots of, you know, really internet critical stuff. So having this poor broadband at home, we also have poor broadband at our warehouse in Faversham. So, you know, that's a whole other issue. But it really is just holding us back and keeping us in the dark ages, you know.
And how did you feel when you realised the rest of the town was being upgraded, but your road had been left out?
Yeah, it was absolutely shocking. I hadn't quite realised that the whole of the rest of Faversham, apart from one or two other isolated pockets, have been upgraded to full fibre. But those other pockets as well, I think they've been upgraded by a different company, UFibre. And it was really heartbreaking. We love our house, we love our home, but being stuck with old school internet, I don't know, it's really put us off living here. And I don't know, it might affect the house values and things like that when someone comes on and they see that we're stuck on old school broadband. It's really disappointing. And I know I've got a group set up now of local residents, and that they're all as equally disappointed as we are. It's just really, I don't know, it seems really unfair.
Well, we have been in touch with Openreach about this situation in Faversham, and they've sent us this statement.
We understand how disappointing it is for residents that these streets are not currently included in our full fibre build, especially when other parts of Faversham have been upgraded. In this case, the challenge is the existing physical infrastructure. There is no underground ducting in place, meaning any build would require significant new engineering work outside of the current Faversham program, which is now finished. While we know this is not the answer people will be hoping for, we will keep the area under review should circumstances or delivery options change in the future.
Well, perhaps you're affected by bad broadband where you live. You can also share your story. We'd like to hear from you. You can email news@thekmgroup.co.uk.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories: and the sentencing of a man who stabbed a soldier near army barracks in Medway is due to get underway today. Lucy's got more for the podcast.
Anthony Essen attacked Lieutenant Colonel Mark Teaton as he walked in Sallyport Gardens near to Brompton Barracks in July 2024. He suffered serious injuries and spent 4 weeks in hospital. The 25-year-old from Mooring Road in Rochester had been due to go on trial this month, but admitted attempted murder during a hearing in January. January. He's been held at the high-security Broadmoor Hospital due to concerns over his mental health. The sentencing is due to last 3 days.
Lucy, thanks ever so much. CCTV's been released by police after a station worker was squirted in the face with a chemical substance at Blackfriars in London. It happened in May last year after 4 men got off a train from Sevenoaks and barged through the barriers. The victim had to be treated in hospital. You can see footage of someone officers want to speak to at Kent Online. Armed police have been sent to a business park near Ashford as part of an investigation into suspected drug offences. Staff at the Frith Business Centre in Aldington were reportedly ordered to stay in their units as the area was cordoned off on Saturday afternoon. The National Crime Agency says no arrests were made. A court's been told how a Dover woman being treated for cancer suffered a split lip and a damaged tooth after being punched by a neighbour. Andrew Cato previously had a restraining order against the victim before the attack happened last November. The 62-year-old from Eastcliff admitted an assault charge and threatening behaviour. He's due to be sentenced in March.
Kent Online reports.
A Dartford man's due in court charged with more than 30 sex offences against women. Police say some of the alleged crimes against 5 victims date back to 2003. Adebayo Adeyemi was initially arrested in 2020. The 58-year-old is due at Bromley Magistrates. A Paddock Wood man who downloaded indecent images of children has avoided going to prison. Police made the discovery on devices recovered from Jamie Elliott's home in March 2023. The 30-year-old from Bowles Place was given a 12-month suspended sentence. Firefighters have been called to reports of an arson attack at a derelict building in Margate. The blaze broke out in North Down Road at around 1:30 yesterday afternoon. No one was hurt, but it's thought to have been started deliberately. Now, people living in shared ownership flats in Tunbridge Wells have been told they'll have to pay thousands of pounds for safety work on their balconies. Residents of the town and country housing properties in Greggswood Road say there's been a lack of consultation over contractors and there's only been one quote. Well, resident Piotr Zajczynski has been speaking to our reporter Ellie Hodgson.
What was your reaction when you saw that price?
It was a little bit shocked because, first of all, I understand that they have to be changed everything, but 6,000 for changing eight decking and boarding, it's very, very big price. Okay, I understand 2,000, 1,000, but not 6,000. So I think it can be doing very cheap, more cheaply than they're expecting.
What would you like the company to do?
First, consulting with us, because I don't want to be in that situation that I have to pay it. I must pay something, because for me, it's better to know this final cost and have got a choice. Do I agree about that or no agree about it? And also, should be some, I don't know, ideas how to decrease this cost. How to saving the money, because for me, something, when was a consultation in November, I have got a lot of objection about that, because, for example, this scaffolding, why it should be 6 weeks, not, for example, 2 weeks, why, for example, this company make it, because we don't have good trust them, and a lot of problems with that.
And so you do agree that the work needs doing, but is it the lack of different quotes?
Yes, I understand. I understand that I have to be doing that because it's health and safety. And also the wooden, I don't know, for 10, 20 years can be just rotten. But sorry, not for that price, because it's really, really 4,000-6,000. It's a lot of money.
The work has already been completed and invoices sent out. Town and Country have apologised for any concerns and say they're happy to speak to individuals about payment options.
Kent Online reports.
A man who led police on a high-speed chase near Maidstone before crashing into a car with a 3-year-old inside has been jailed for 4 years. In August 2020, David Eastham of no fixed address ignored officers who attempted to pull him over on the the M20. The pursuit lasted 25 miles. The child sustained bruising while his parents both suffered multiple injuries. The 60-year-old, who had no insurance and had never passed a driving test, has also been given an 11-year driving ban. Immigration officers have urged councillors to refuse permission for a new Premier store in Canterbury to be able to sell alcohol. An application's been submitted for the former Raj Venue Indian restaurant on St Dunstan Street, which closed during COVID. All plans to reopen as a convenience store were lodged last month, but there are concerns the proposed operators have been involved in cases involving illegal workers. Bosses in Gravesham have come up with what they hope is their final document on where new homes will be built. The version of the local plan will now go out for one last round of consultation before being submitted to government. It sets out house building plans until 2042. The government set a target of almost 11,500 properties between now and then. Meantime, the people behind plans for 16 luxury custom-built homes on land in Hollingbourne say there's overwhelming demand for them. Developers have put in an application to Maidstone Council for a site off the A20 Ashford Road. It's classed as countryside but lies between two existing homes. The local parish council has objected. Next on the podcast, and the MP for Tunbridge Wells hopes a new campaign is going to stop lorries from getting stuck in a village high street. Over the last 15 years, Goudhurst has been used as a cut through for HGVs, but they often get beached and cause damage to property and obviously cause traffic jams. Well, Mike Martin has successfully petitioned sat-nav companies to change their data so trucks won't use the route, but one or two still take the risk. Mike is asking us to report drivers spotted doing the wrong thing.
We work with all the villagers in Goudhurst. We gathered a petition together, and then we also gathered evidence of the signs and how unsuitable it was and previous problems and beachings of lorries, and then put that all together and wrote to all of the sat-nav companies. And the three main ones who produce the base mapping for all of the HGV companies have agreed to mark that road as unsuitable for HGVs, i.e. to update their software to reflect actually what the signs say on the road. And that's been pretty successful. And we've still got a few lorries coming through, but it's many fewer than were before.
And so this is where we get the, I just want to get it right, spot it, snap it, send it campaign. Can you talk me through what that's about?
Yeah, so this is phase two, building on the success of phase one. Spot it, snap it, send it. If anyone in Goudhurst or anyone who happens to be in Goudhurst sees a lorry, an HGV coming down the high street, or let alone being, you know, beached or damaging something, take a photo on your phone, make sure you get the number plate and the company name, the livery, and then email it to me, mike.martin.mp@parliament.uk, and I'll write to that company and say that it's not acceptable and they should be using the right sat-navs for HGVs, and they've put their lorries through roads that are unsuitable for HGVs. And we've had some success with this approach in other parts of the constituency, so we think that this, coupled with what we did before with the sat-nav companies, is going to finally deal with this problem for Goudhurst.
Is it about holding companies accountable?
Well, it is. I mean, look, there's two ways of looking at it. One is that actually, you know, one of these sat-nav companies was headquartered in Holland, right? So they're not, you know, they don't know whether the signs on the road or whatever. So part of it is awareness. And I'm grateful to those, you know, sat-nav companies who have responded and said, yes, of course, we'll update our software. I think for others, you know, they might be trying to take a shortcut or whatever. And those, it is just, you know, one of the jobs of an MP is to shine a flashlight on wrongdoing, and that's what we're doing here with the help of everyone in Goudhurst.
Kent Online News.
A derelict hotel on Romney Marsh has become a magnet for vandals, but work to revive it could begin next month. Romney Bay House in Littlestone was built way back in 1929 and has been empty since closing in 2022. It's been purchased by bosses at the Gallivant Boutique Hotel in Rye, who say they plan to transform it back to its former glory. You can see pictures of it today by heading to the website. A heads up for drivers. Part of the M25 in Kent is set to be shut overnight for almost a month. Work needs to be carried out on a bridge that carries the motorway over the railway line between Farningham Road and Swanley stations. It'll be closed between the Darrenth and Swanley junctions from 10 p.m. to 5:30 a.m. on weekdays from tonight until March the 7th. Now, work is due to start this month to replace a bridge on an historic railway line in Kent. The Spar Valley Railway in Tunbridge Wells runs over the Broom Lane Bridge between High Rocks and Groombridge. They're now raising more than £400,000 for the installation of the replacement, which will begin in the coming weeks. To help with the fundraising, they're holding the Stride the Line event next month so people can walk the tracks, which usually is out of bounds. I've been chatting to Caroline Edwards, who works with the attraction.
The bridge itself has been obviously there for many, many, many years, very, very old, right from sort of the original time when the railway was used as a different sort of railway, not heritage railway. And they have been keeping a check on it, as you do, everything along the line. It's a big job to keep things safe for everybody. And they knew it was starting to deteriorate, and it just got to that point where, whoa, you know, 90-ton trains, they need to have very, very good structures to go over. So they knew that it was now, and that was that. So they just started working with the right people up and down the country, and eventually the date was set, and obviously the cost was enormous, over 400 grand. But, you know, everything is expensive now, so there was no way around that. It was a particularly sort of slightly sort of skew with sort of bridge, so you had to sort of have one specially made. So yeah, and then they just went for it basically, and the public's been amazing with donations, and we've had these lovely fundraising events. This is the second one now with the Stride the Line, and it's just a great fun event and raises money, and the more we can raise, the easier it's going to be for the railway to continue with its, you know, normal operations, because obviously it's got to find this money to pay back the 400 grand over 2.5 years.
And work is going to start this month to replace that bridge. I mean, how big a job is that going to be? It sounds like quite a huge thing to undertake.
It's huge, and obviously the bridge is going to have to be brought down from the manufacturers and put in place, and it's going to involve an awful lot of people, and the railway won't be able to going to operate across that line for a few months, but they are still going to be operating their dining trains and their events, but they just won't be able to go so far to Eridge for a while, so people will still get to enjoy the railway for, you know, the time when it's going to be replaced.
So tell us a bit more about this fundraiser then, because that will be a chance to actually see and walk over, in fact, the new bridge, which will be a really cool thing to do, won't it?
Yes, it's a brilliant event. And we held one last year, and it was just such fun. All families came. It was just amazing to see the support that the railway has. And people brought their dogs and their children. And it was just a really beautiful event, actually. It was such fun, and everybody was chatting to new people they you know knew or didn't know, and it was just a really fun thing to do. And this event, obviously a little bit different, because we will actually be walking over the new bridge. So people will be walking 6 miles. You have to have good shoes on, good stout shoes, because you can imagine everybody knows that they're quite big sort of stones that lay on the railway tracks, so yeah, you need to have good stout footwear, I would say. And then for people who want to hop on a train, there's going to be a train waiting at High Rock station, and that will take people back for the last mile if they so wish.
And if you want to get involved in Stride the Line, do head to the Spar Valley Railway website. The staff who keep a Medway shopping centre safe have been named Security Team of the Year. The 11 strong group have been described as the eyes and ears of Chatham while working in the Pentagon. Boss Dave Fuller has also been singled out for his courage and bravery after saving the lives of 2 people. And a new restaurant is planned for a former gallery and art supply shop in Rochester. The old Francis Isles Galleries in the High Street is to undergo a major transformation and become Tribe. An application for the restaurant is currently being considered by licensing officers.
Kent Online Sports.
Football first up, and Ronan Hales opened his account at Gillingham as they beat Tranmere Rovers. The January signing scored both goals in the 2-1 victory at Priestfield on Saturday, and the striker spoke to us after the final whistle.
I thought it was a great win today. Obviously at times we're under the courses, we're leading, but listen, I thought we dug in well, and you know, it was a massive 3 points and 2 goals, and I'm very happy with, so hoping to bring it into the big running coming in there.
Talk me through your two goals, because actually they were quite different, weren't they? Let's talk about the first one first.
First one was just pure instinct. I just seen, let's see, he flicked it on and a time of run, just finished it. And the second one just hit off the back of my head. You know, I pushed away from the keeper and just flicked it. So I'll take any goals as they come, and long may I continue.
Have you ever scored a perfect hat-trick?
I have, but I was quite annoyed I didn't get my hat-trick today. But listen, it was a great 3 points. It'll push us on.
Yeah, it must have been a great feeling to do it at home as well, in a game which really we needed to win, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Obviously, it was one you take each game as it comes, but you know, to get 3 points at home, and I thought the place was rocking today when I scored the two goals. So happy to be contributing to the team and getting the points on board.
Is it a relief at a new club when you get your first one? Obviously, you've got two today, but when you get your first one, is that kind of, right, I can get it out of the way now, I've talked that one off?
Yeah, massively, because Tuesday night I should have scored right at the death, and you know, I played on my mind for a day or two, and then I got it out of the way, and you know, to get the first goal, it's brilliant, and hopefully many more to come.
And how have you settled at the club generally? The gaffer said you've been up and down the motorway, presumably collecting things and whatnot, but how have you settled in with the group?
No, I think it's been brilliant. You know, as soon as I come in, they've welcomed me, and you know, that's the way new teams be. So I'd say if it's brilliant, and obviously getting on the pitch and now adding goals to the team, I'm really excited about the future here.
That's three wins in the last five games for the Gills, who stay 14th in League Two. Our sports reporter Luke Cordell caught up with manager Gareth Ainsworth and asked how he thought Ronan Hale could progress.
There's massive scope for him to improve in the Football League. I think the Football League is a really intense League Two, you know. If he can do it in League Two, then the next step is obviously, you know, the next tiers. And you know, these strikers go for crazy money nowadays. You know, he'd soon be a you know, top quality player, earning a lot of money because he scores goals. They're so hard to get, goal scorers, you know. And we've tried to come across one is something special. And I don't think I'm jumping the gun here, because the chances he had at Notts County, the chances he had when he came on against Bromley, I think we're seeing now. He's in the right place at the right time. He's going to score goals, this boy. And like I said, being a big fan, but it doesn't always work. But Ronan's come up trumps today. He's scored two great goals. And he's a cracking lad, and he'll demand. And I'm glad he'll demand, because I want to deliver for him on a coaching point of view, so he can deliver on a Saturday like he's done today.
You have to be careful sort of promoting him for Northern Ireland international caps, because you'd be missing him.
Yeah, I'll have to get two more internationals somehow and get the game called off. If that happens, we'll do without him for a week, but I'll be so proud that he's been drafted into that squad. I don't think it's going to be long. I think he's a cracking player, and I think he will score at any level. We're just looking to have him.
And at the other end, just a word on Travis. I mean, playing alongside someone like Omar is going to do him the world of good, and is that to be patient for his chance?
Yeah, absolutely. He's done really well, Travis. He came back from Watford to play, and we had the chat, and I said, look, I will give you games, but you've got to keep your shirt once you get that game. And he certainly has done that. You know, he's certainly showing that he's playing his size. Some young players don't play their size as much. Travis is playing his size. Not 100% time, but we're getting there, and I want him to play in size, and someone like Omar Beckles to learn off is fantastic. But Andy Smith is a great centre-half. Sam Gale's a great centre-half, you know. I'd left on Aaron Rowe out of the squad today. What a great player, you know. So we have a good squad at the moment. We have people fighting to try and get in this squad, and that's the way I want it. I want difficult decisions. But going back to Travis, yeah, I think he's come in and defended really well, you know. He's young, he's still learning the game, He's got a bright future.
Staying with football, and Kent's Punjab United are through to the quarterfinals of the FA Vase for the first time in their history. The Gravesend Bay side beat Fisher 2-0 to reach the last eight. They're the last team from the county left in the tournament after holders Whitstable went out on penalties to Cockfosters. And London City Lionesses have lost to Everton in the Women's Super League. The side, who trained near Aylesford, were beaten 1-0 at their home ground in Bromley. They're currently sixth in the table. On to rugby, and Kent's Ben Earl scored a try for England as they thrashed Wales in their opening game of the Six Nations. It finished 48-7 at Twickenham. It was also England's 12th win in a row. On to tennis, and Kent's Emma Raducanu will be looking to bounce back from her defeat in the Transylvania Open final later. She's taking on Camila Osorio from Colombia in the first round of another tournament in Qatar. And finally, in ice hockey, it was a mixed weekend for Kent's Invicta Dynamos. They lost 2-0 to Streatham Redhawks at the ice rink in Gillingham last night. It follows a 4-2 victory over the same side away from home on Saturday. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And to watch her on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.